The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, despite the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on international trade flows, EU imports from Singapore have been on the rise. Now, the increase of imports from Singapore has been particularly significant for organic chemicals and pharmaceutical products, the two main product categories imported into the EU from Singapore. And to find out more and, you know, where there may be areas of potential, we're joined today by a very special guest. We're joined by Barbara Plinkert, and she's the European Union Ambassador to Singapore. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's an absolute pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
So first, I'd like to ask you, you know, despite COVID-19, imports from Singapore to the EU have been on the rise. Can you tell us what's the driving force here?
Yes, indeed. Between December 2019 and May 2020, really seen an increase of imports from Singapore into the EU by 12%. And this corresponds with the first 6 months since the entry into force of the EU-Singapore Free Trade Agreement, which came into effect on the 21st of November 2019. So there's really a correlation and between the rise in exports to the EU and the FTA application, the Free Trade Agreement's application, and we see early signs of a very positive effect of the application of the Free Trade Agreement. You know, the reason for this is that the EU has liberalized its tariffs for imports of goods from Singapore. We've removed already 84% of all tariffs with immediate effect and have also reduced tariffs for the remaining 16%. These remaining 16% of tariffs will be gradually eliminated over the next 5 years. So this really creates significant duty savings for exporters. And because of the tariff reductions, but also I think what needs to be said also is the readiness of Singapore companies to continue exporting to the EU despite the challenges of the coronavirus pandemic that everyone is feeling. We've been able to record this growth in some sectors. And you've rightly said already the organic chemicals and pharmaceuticals. And that's really even more remarkable as it comes at a time of a global trend of slowdown in international trade, overall economic downturn. And it's really, really good news and bodes well for the implementation of our EU-Singapore Free Trade Agreement.
Definitely. And can you tell me more about, you know, the high demand for organic chemicals?
For exports to the EU, chemicals have always and traditionally been one of the major product category from Singapore. So now when we record this increase in exports, about half of the current exports from Singapore to the EU chemicals and related products. So, for example, organic chemicals, medical and pharmaceutical products. And so you're asking what are organic chemicals used for? They are actually used in many different industries. Some are, for example, used as ingredients for plastic production or, for example, also solvents for cleaning agents. And others are used for medical, pharmaceutical, or, you know, biomedical applications. And the production of these items has not stopped during the time of COVID-19 or even increased during this pandemic, which explains the high demand in Europe.
Now, there's another area of growth or potential growth that I thought was quite interesting for local businesses to find out about, and that's, you know, local food offerings. Can you share more?
Yes, indeed. There are many industry sectors that can benefit from the EU-Singapore Free Trade Agreement. And the elimination of reduction of tariffs for all these types of goods gives Singaporean exporters a competitive advantage to export to the EU. And one should also not forget that the EU is a single market of 450 million consumers. So there are plenty of opportunities. And one example, as you rightly say, is indeed food products. Through the free trade agreement, Singaporean food and beverage companies have a stable framework to sell these products on the EU market. There are, of course, also other types of goods, such as electrical machinery and mechanical appliances that have the potential to be exported more to the EU. So it's not only food offerings, but that is one specific area where there's really potential and it has not been utilized and tapped into yet.
Mm. And that said, the EU delegation to Singapore's statement also noted that Singapore has yet to make use of the annual quota of goods with specialized rules of origin stipulated in the EUSFTA. Can you share with us more about this? How large is the quota and where can companies really tap in here?
Yeah, so that is going back again to the food offerings. Within the framework of the free trade agreement, Singapore has an annual quota of 1,250 tons to export so-called Asian food products to the EU, such as, for example, sambal, ikan bilis, and dumplings, and samosas with specialized and flexible rules of origins. This means that the products can be actually made in Singapore, but with raw materials coming from outside Singapore. And they will still qualify to access the EU under preferential market conditions and tariff reductions. So this quota is managed annually on a first-come and first-served basis, and it's renewed then every year. Unfortunately, so far, and I must really say unfortunately, because I would like to see more Singaporean food products on the EU market, no Singaporean delicacies have been exported by using this quota to the EU. So really, there is potential, and I hope I will see more of that.
You'll see sambal ikan bilis on the shop shelves in Europe soon, I'm sure, after this goes out. So local businesses listening into this interview, how can they tap into the benefits of the agreement? What are some of the first steps that they can make?
So the first step, obviously, is for companies to understand better the contents and how they can make use of the free trade agreement. It's a new agreement, so it might not be fully understood and known by everyone. So together with our partners here in Singapore, let me say particularly the Ministry of Trade and Industry, Enterprise Singapore, also the Singapore Business Federation, and of course also the European Chamber of Commerce in Singapore. We've already conducted several outreach events and seminars to raise awareness of the FTA and its benefits and its contents. And we are really committed to continue to do more of this work to make sure that as many companies as possible understand better where are the benefits and how can they really tap into the provisions of the FTA. We have also produced online guidance materials that can be found on our website, and also Singapore exporters can make use of a free online tool, which is called the Trade Help Desk, which can be easily found on the internet, the Trade Help Desk, to understand what are the requirements needed to export any specific good into the EU.
We're speaking to Barbara Plinkert, European Union Ambassador to Singapore. Now, can you tell us, I mean, this was interesting as well, EU beer exports to Singapore grew by 20% since the entry into force of the EU SFTA. Overall, however, EU exports to Singapore decreased by 16% to the same period a year earlier. Would you say the decline is mainly due to COVID-19's impact on trade flow, or are there other issues at play here?
Yes, first of all, in terms of market access, EU exporters could already benefit from a tariff-free regime applied by Singapore to all its trading partners, but the FTA eliminated the few remaining customs duties, for example, beer and stout, and that's therefore it's been particularly interesting for us to see, and but not surprising to see that the correlation between the increase of exports of beer to Singapore after benefiting from the tariff elimination since the 21st of November last year. So there is, again, this very direct correlation between the implementation application of this new free trade agreement and what we see here on the market. But overall, of course, the EU exports to Singapore have declined, as you say, by 16%, which can and has to be really mainly be attributed to the unfortunate negative effects of COVID-19, which are similar also to the overall overall trend of a decline of EU exports to the rest of the world. So it's Singapore is no exception there. In most parts of Europe, the peak of the first wave of the pandemic really came during this time, so between March and May, and the figures really reflect the impact of the lockdown measures and very significantly reduced economic activities during this time. So that explains, of course, that there's a decline of exports to Singapore.
It's been over a decade since Singapore and the EU launched negotiations of the EU-SFTA. But how do you see things changing as a result of the new COVID-19 environment?
Yeah, let me first talk about the first part of this question. How has the relationship been evolved? So one has to say that EU and Singapore are really like-minded partners and promoters of an open and fair multilateral rules-based trading system. So we really speak the same language there. And the entry into force of the FTA has been a key milestone in these relations and has even really further deepened our already very strong trade and economic ties. In addition, important to note that in 2018, we also signed two other agreements, which is the Investment Protection Agreement and also the Partnership and Cooperation Agreement, which both will enter into force once they have been ratified by all member states. So this is a process they have to go through, which is not finalized yet, but they will enter into force in the coming years when they have been ratified by all member states. And it should also be mentioned that in addition to our bilateral agreements, these three agreements that we've been forging over the past few years, we also cooperate in many areas between the EU and Singapore at regional level with ASEAN, and also in multilateral settings such as WTO and also G20. These areas are very important for us in partnering on the multilateral scene. We now have an opportunity, and I really say we even are natural partners to join forces in our recovery efforts from COVID-19. I think, first of all, we need to restore connectivity that has been disrupted. We are really convinced that this pandemic calls for a coordinated approach and a response by all international actors, and Singapore and EU can work very closely on that. For example, the EU and ASEAN, and within ASEAN, Singapore is a really key partner, are both committed to making efforts to keep our markets open and really prevent an unnecessary disruption of supply chains. There has been a disruption, but we need to restore it, and we are committed to restoring the supply chains and really keep our markets open. This is very important to allow for the smooth flow of essential goods that we all need. Also, I think in this context, people-to-people ties need to be restored. There have also been disruptions of those. And we, in this context, we really look forward to our annual Study in Europe fair. This year, it will be fully digital, to be held on the 26th of September, which will showcase opportunities for young Singaporeans to study in Europe and to get to know Europe better. And in addition, digital trade is another area where we can build stronger ties. And we also work together on preserving the rules-based multilateral trading system in the multilateral setting, as I said earlier. One other point I want to make is that when it comes to recovery, we firmly believe that the emphasis has to be on green recovery. This means that economic recovery has to go hand in hand with also fixing the global environmental and climate emergency that has not gone away during the pandemic, on the contrary. And we have to build back better. So strong alliances, international alliances, will be needed to make sure that we can fight climate change and achieve our global sustainable development goals. And of course, EU and Singapore are very, very like-minded in that as well, and need to work together on an international scene.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Unfortunately, that is all we've got time for. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've been speaking with European Union Ambassador to Singapore, Barbara Plinkert.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.